Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Lord, we love you. We worship you. Have your way. We have no agenda, sir, but to serve you and worship you. In the stillness, I hear you speaking to our hearts. So if you're uncomfortable with the stillness, the quietness, just rest. I see the Lord inviting us deeper, deeper into the wells of his joy, the wells of his truth, the wells of restoration. I hear him saying, drink, drink. As some people are afraid to let themselves relax in the presence of the King of Kings, but I want to tell you that is where healing takes place. That is where truth opens up inside of us. If you're born again and you're spirit-filled, you've asked the Holy Spirit to come into your life and help you learn the walk of the Spirit. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, he is the Spirit of truth. He is the Comforter, and he wants to guide you into all truth. But there's this thing, this mind that God gave us minds, and some of us are so trained in the natural to be cautious and careful because of past issues. And I'm telling you, tonight, the Lord is asking you to drink from his wells, drink of his goodness. And for some, you're like, I'm in. I'll yes, Lord, more. And you're like little kids, in a city where they have fire hydrants, and in the summer when it's real hot, they open up the fire hydrants, and the kids play and dance and jump in there and hoot and holler. And some of you are like little kids in the kingdom of God, and others are like, you know, there's germs out there. You could get hurt. And you know, you might slip. And did you wait a half hour after you ate, you know, before you go into the water? And I'm challenging you tonight to break off the mindset of, protection, self-protection. And I make light of it because, you know, truthfully, some of us are so rigid, and we can't allow for any expansion of the holiness of God to penetrate our heart because we think we know. I'm telling you, we don't know nothing. We know nothing. We're kids in his kingdom. We're kids. And you know, we try to act all grown up and mature. Listen, when when he comes back for his spotless bride, hello, you're spotless, hopefully. By the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, by the grace of Yeshua, he's the one that makes us spotless. It's not our works. It's not how much we study. It's not how whether we swear or don't swear. It's the goodness of God that consumes us because of what Jesus did for our benefit. And so I feel like there's this shaking away. You know, some of you are hungry. Some of you have been dabbling. You know, I want the walk of the Spirit. I don't know what that means. Teach me. But yet you put these parameters or these boundaries up, and every time a splash comes your way, you hide back. You retract into self-preservation mode, or you get behind the shield because you don't want. You know, you just don't trust. You don't know. And I'm going to tell you something. I remember those days when I didn't trust God. I didn't know that he was a good God. How do you trust somebody you can't see? And so the word says, you know, you can trust him, but well, who wrote the word? And so I had a lot of questions, but as you keep asking the questions of your heart, God finds a way to answer them. He meets us where we're at. But there's some people who are more active or more interested in watching the Spirit of God working in the room or working on a person or manifesting on somebody than opening themselves up and saying, Lord, pick me. Lord, I'll yield. Use me, Lord. Oh, and some of you are like, no, use so-and-so. Don't use me because I don't want to get messy. I don't want to get dirty. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I've been embarrassed so many times. And it's not like embarrassed in the natural. It's like, you know, God makes sure there's no pride in my heart, okay? And I don't say that in pride. I say that I know who I am and I know how I walk and I try to walk in a holy way. But I have flesh and I carry my flesh and sometimes I'll say a bad word. Sometimes I'll think a bad thought. But I'm going to tell you something. The rivers are where you get cleaned up. It's pressing into the presence of the kingdom of God. It's pressing in and then all of a sudden, there it is. It opens. There it is. It's here. And that's him. He's the open. He is. It's him. And he may manifest as water, rushing water. He may manifest as a river of joy. He may manifest as a holy laughter. And who are we to judge how he chooses to manifest? See, we're coming into a day. He's trying to get us to come alongside him. We're coming into a day where things are going to look very peculiar. And you might be looking very peculiar. I can tell you, I've been looking very peculiar lots of times. And afterwards, I think, oh my gosh, how embarrassing. But I'm like, no, that's God. That's God. And see, the flesh or the religious spirit would try to rise up inside of me. And that's why we have to crucify our flesh. That's why we have to say, wait a minute, his ways are higher. If I look like a fool for God, so be it. You know, is my image more important? Is the way I look more important, the way I sound more important than his holiness or how he chooses to use me in any way he chooses? We have to come to terms with what that looks like. We have to recognize a couple things. We, by nature, have put up boundaries. We, by nature, have put up protection because when you're growing up, you get hit in the playground of life. And so you learn, oh, if I touch the stove, it burns my hand. I quit touching the stove. But see, the enemy oftentimes is sent in way when we're little kids to kill, steal, and destroy the destiny, the breath of God that he poured into us. And so somebody may have got hurt as a kid. Somebody may have been molested as a kid. Somebody may have turned to drugs as a kid. Somebody may have turned into a thief as a kid. Listen, that's not your identity. That's a byproduct of what happened to you because of the enemy, the corrupt world. And I'm telling you something. I've got good news. Jesus paid the way to redeem you from those situations and circumstances. And it's called the Great Exchange because of what happened on the cross. And so if you're still, now I never want to minimize hurt and pain, okay? I never want to minimize trauma in someone's life. I never want it to come across that way, but I want to tell you something. I know the victor, and I know his name. And I also know he calls me an overcomer by the blood, his blood, and the word of my testimony. His word, my testimony. And so I'm telling you something. God's shaken us. If you had trauma in your life, you know, I could say, raise your hand if you have trauma in your life. I don't think one person would not raise their hand. But here's the thing. Some people use that as an excuse never to own the situation in truth. And what I mean by that is they become a victim. And because doesn't it feel good when someone feels sorry for you? You know, for a minute, you know, oh, you poor thing, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And your flesh goes, oh, you know, they feel sorry for me. That, yeah, that was bad. But listen, 17 years later, if you're still waiting for somebody to feel sorry for you for a trauma that happened 17 years ago, there's a false expectation, and there's probably an inner vow, and there's a whole lot of truth that you need to learn. And where you learn that truth, it's not in a book. It's in the presence of the King of Kings. It's when the rivers open. It's when you see, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And you go, you know what? By faith, I'm going to taste and see. And when by faith you reach out, guess what happens? You taste and see. And then you taste and see, and his goodness gets all over you. And you start to realize, wait a minute, that happened 17 years ago. That's not who I am. I'm his. He's the one who owns me. Not this situation, not this trauma. And then you say, wait a minute. I think I have to change some of my thinking. Because I've been thinking as a victim, and I've been expecting. Oh boy, we're going here, aren't we? I've been expecting. See, one of the things that happens when you become a victim, there's a spirit called entitlement that comes alongside and says, you poor thing. You deserve better. You, the great you. I'm making light of it, but I'm really not, because there's so many people that are stuck. And they're stuck because they don't know the truth. And I want to tell you who the truth is. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost. It's Father God. When you align yourself with what his word says, his word can't lie. When you align yourself with what his word says, you become his truth. That's amazing. That is amazing. Even if you don't understand it, you don't have to. Because you're his. You're made in his image. Not in your situation that happened years ago image. You're made in God's image. You're the apple of his eye. And yes, he did. And did feel. He does feel bad for the situation. That wasn't him. That was not his intention for the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. That hurts him. That's a good father would feel hurt for that. But listen, he's saying, come on, overcomer. Come on. Come on over into my kingdom where I can bless the socks out of you. Because there's a package. There's a transfer. You got to give yourself to him. He gives you himself. And boom! There's an explosion in the supernatural where you're a God package walking on earth. And stuff that happened years ago, you go, hey, yeah. But let me tell you how God saved me. Let me tell you what he did. He spoke to me in the night. That night I was laying there and I was so sad I couldn't sleep because I kept having the images and I kept thinking about it. And God spoke to me and he said, guess what? Guess what he said to me? And then you share what it was. And it's the key to victory. And it might be, I love you. It might be, you can do it one more day. Or Psalm 91, come away with me. The Spirit of the living God, the Holy Ghost, he whispers encouragement to us. He whispers life to us all the time. All the time. All the time. He's never not. He's constantly, 100% always saying, come on, you can do it. Come on, come a little deeper. Go a little farther. Lay that down. Stop playing with that. Come on. Am I making sense here tonight? Am I talking to anybody in the room tonight? Or are you guys kind of thinking about what's on TV right now? You know, it's kind of weird in here tonight. What's going on? You know, there's breakthrough in here.
Hallelujah.
And some of you, listen, don't feel like I'm pointing you out. I'm pointing you out. Okay, don't think it's your neighbor. It's you. God's talking to you. He's talking to me. Is there some area from your past that you're dragging your leg behind a little bit with?
Right.
You know, we get used to walking with the limp. We get used to dragging because it's been 17 years. That thing's our friend. God wants us free, 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 where we can fly, where we can jump over mountains. But we cannot have the bondage and the brokenness attached, or we're going to get clipped and hit a tree. It'll pull us down and we'll smack down and we'll go, well, what happened? I guess God didn't want me to fly. Oh, yes, he does. You still got baggage you got to cut. And how do you do it? What are you saying to me tonight, Lord? What's this message really all about? What? Speak to me, Holy Ghost. I know you're talking to me. Speak to me. What's the blockage that I don't even see? What's the area, the hindrance that I'm so numb to? Tonight, Lord, let it be tonight. Let it be tonight that you free me and show me truth. Because I want to walk in in everything you have. I don't want to walk in part of what you have. I don't want to walk in a little drib, a little drabble. I want everything. The fire hose open. Where when I walk into a room, they feel your presence, Lord. When I walk in a room, people are convicted. When I walk in a room, they feel encouragement. And how does that happen? We got to die to ourselves. We got to die to the way we think we know is right, because it isn't. His ways are higher. There's this dulling down that's happened in the church. I'm saying it. It's happened in the church. It happened in our homes. It's happened in the governments. And God is saying, enough, come up higher. Okay. Enough, come up higher. Come on.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, do you mean me? Yes, he means you. Well, but what about, you know, I got this problem. I only got $5 in the bank. He don't care about how much money you got in the bank. Well, I got, my tires are low in my car. Listen, just say yes, Lord, to whatever it is. And when he'll provide, he's the provider. You know, it's not plan. Okay, I think the Lord's calling me into this. So I'm going to call the intercessors. Put it all down bullet points. And then when God does this, I'll do that.
No. Yeah,
17 more years. And then you say, why isn't God using me? I guess it's not true. I guess his word isn't true. Listen. I like to call it, we're going around the barn until we go through the barn. You know, and he'll use that analogy. When I pray for people, I'll say, oh, I see you going around the barn, meaning, you know, you're kind of clueless, but that's okay. At least you're moving, you know. At least you're not sitting there going, why did this happen to me 17 years ago? And then one day, it's like the barn's gone. And you're, phew. And you know why? Because you didn't give up. You're an overcomer. You were steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. That's powerful. See, it doesn't happen when we think, okay, I fasted and prayed for 7 days in a row. Okay, I was nice for 2 days in a row. Okay, I read my Bible for an hour every day. It doesn't work like that. Signs and wonders follow us all the time. They're always happening, but are you looking, are you seeing, and are you part of it? I never want to get dulled down. Listen, I was raised in signs and wonders, so it's easy. I didn't know you shouldn't expect signs and wonders. Okay, I didn't get raised in a church that didn't believe. I saw, I heard, and I still believe. But the enemy's like, oh, you know, signs and wonders. Well, every once in a while, bread comes your way. Signs and wonders, oh, a little bit, maybe next week if you're good. No, every day, all the time, 24/7, because God is always releasing his power. He cannot not release his power. So where is the disconnect? It's us.
Yeah.
And so what do? Do we formulate the plan? No. Lord, here I am again. Lord, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Teach me what that means. Show me how to minister from heaven into the earth. I don't want to minister from earth just because that's flesh. I want to minister. I want to be seated in heavenly places where I'm looking down from God's view. You know, God's eye roams around. You ever see his eye roaming? It's terrifying. When his eye comes into the building, I've had it happen a few times, where all of a sudden I'm worshiping, and all of a sudden his eye shows up. It's like, ah! You get down on the floor, because his eye is so bright. And anything in your heart that is even remotely sinful, you're convicted of. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. See, his presence is supposed to convict us. If it's a false God, it won't convict us. It just says, oh, you're doing just fine. I'm telling you, we're in a transitional period, and I think it's the best time ever. I am so excited for what God's doing. You know what? He picked me for this time. He picked you for this time. Some of you are like, I don't want to be picked for this time. Listen, I'm telling you. Let that 17-year-old thing go and jump into the pond of God and get wet. Because when you get wet, woo, you expand just like wood. Woo! Floating in the river. You know, wood gets float, you know, it gets, yeah, it's floaty. And it gets weathered, you know, it bounces off the shore and you're like, I don't care. Stuff can't cling to you. when you're in his water, when you're in his presence, when somebody says something bad to you, people say stuff bad to me all the time. It's funny. The one thing God put in my heart is I never know when they're talking bad about me. You know, he did that. You know, some people think, oh, they're talking about me. I'm clueless when people are talking about me. I can feel it in the spirit. But if you're insulting me face to face, I have no ability to recognize an assault or an insult. I don't have it. It's not my DNA. It's gone. It's gone. And so, therefore, I can preach and say whatever he says, and I won't think, oh, you're offended, because I don't even know that you're offended, because I miss that. People have to tell me. I have people, friends of mine, who say, you just offended so-and-so. Really? I didn't even know. You know, or so-and-so's really upset with you. Really? I didn't know. Or here's one. Sometimes it's guys. That guy's hitting on you. Really? I didn't even know. I don't have the ability to know. So I have people in my life to help me in those situations. Yeah, I'm great in discernment. You think I'd pick up on that stuff? I don't, because it's flesh, and I don't care about the flesh. I don't. And so, you know, my dear friend made fun of me the other day, and I thought it was hilarious. You know, because first of all, I missed it. And then when I realized it, I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. She loves me enough where she can do that to my face. And it was in love. You know, it wasn't like mean stuff. It was funny. It was actually funny. And we laughed about that. You know, and I love when stuff like that happens. But I didn't love it when the attorney was saying all this bad stuff about me many years ago. I didn't know they were talking about me. I thought they were talking about somebody else. So it backfired because it couldn't hurt me. Isn't that funny? And then they get mad because you're not mad. I had somebody come up to me, a couple months ago, and apologize because they thought I was strange and they were judging me. And I'm thinking, okay. I didn't lose 1 ounce of sleep over any of that. And I never will. I know I'm strange. I know that. That scripture, peculiar people. You know, I'm one of them. I'm proud to be peculiar. Now, I don't like being weird. And I don't fake weird stuff in the spirit. I see some of that, and that's just grotesque. But I'm telling you, God is challenging us to shake off the image of who we thought we were supposed to be as we were growing up. Listen, none of that's going to matter. When you look in the mirror in heaven, you know what you're going to see? Jesus. You're going to see his love, his compassion. You won't have one wrinkle. You won't have one blemish. You're going to feel the presence and love and compassion of Jesus. So why not do it now? Why look at the wrinkles in the mirror? Who cares if you have wrinkles? Who cares if you have gray hair? Who cares if you're fat? Who cares if you're skinny? None of that matters. Now, I'm not saying be fat and lazy, because you know what? What I am saying is be ready to go when God says go. But if we've been eating candy all day, our blood sugars are not going to be in the greatest shape, and we might not be able to go. So there is disciplining of the flesh, but I don't discipline my flesh above my spirit. My spirit is more important than my flesh. And so I do, my flesh drags around, and I do try to keep it in line. But, what I care about is God's word, what he's telling me to do, and am I able to do it? And if not, I'm calling on your grace, Jesus. Maybe it's something I don't want to do. You have to do something you don't want to do. You know, my old way was I'll just get people to pray it in for me. You know what? It takes too long. Holy Spirit, help me. I don't want to, but I want to. Teach me to want to. What? Listen, there's nothing we can't do through him. Jesus, he laid it all out. He did it for us. He walked the walk the walk, did it all, and Satan had nothing on him. Now, we've been washed by the blood. Washed by the blood. There's nothing we can't do. If we can't do it, it's because we're not tapped into the Holy Ghost. Truth. So, who needs their leg grown out tonight? Anybody? John's not here. If your leg needs to be grown out, Jesus would command us. He'd say, speak to that mountain and be thou removed, cast into the sea. Okay, leg grow out in the name of Jesus. Where's our boldness? Where's the Holy Ghost boldness? See, what's happening, there's a shift coming, and God is letting us practice right now. There's a shift coming. It's not here yet, but you know, like the ripples are coming. And you know, great testimony the other day with Ryan and Rachel. You know, they got a practicing application of a situation in their heart. They were confronted with a street scene, And they didn't handle it the way they thought they should. And here's the cool thing. You know how you know when you know that you didn't?
Yeah.
It bothers your heart. And you don't justify it. You don't say, well, okay, maybe next time I'll do it again better. No, there's a conviction of the Holy Ghost. And it's never like, you loser, you blew it. It's like, come on, do it again. Come on, you can do it. What happened there? And so you go through the mechanics in your head because it has to get into your heart. And what I mean by that is, the best way for me to explain that, years ago I used to get attacked late in the night. Demonic attack come and hit me, and it was because the enemy knew I like to sleep. I get good night's sleep. So when I sleep, nothing wakes me up. And I don't like to be woke up. I like to sleep. So the enemy knew that about me. So he'd come in the middle of the night and try this crazy weird stuff, and I'd be like, oh, the blood of Jesus. And so that wasn't strong enough to you know, because it was kind of half wimpy. You know, there was no faith in that or no exercise of his word. It was kind of like the blood of Jesus, you know. And so I'd wake up in the morning and I'd say, Lord, I need a strategy to overcome this situation. See, when something happens, some of it's just testing to build up our faith. Some of it's testing to build up our spiritual muscles. And so what I mean by that is, I said, Lord, I'm tired of getting attacked in the middle of the night. You got to give me a strategy. Give me a scripture to speak. Help me overcome. See, I didn't ask him at 2 a.m. when I was tired and wore out. I waited until the daytime, you know, reason, come and reason. And I said, Lord, what are you saying about this? Do I have any open doors? You know, how come this is happening and what can I do? And he gave me a strategy in the daytime that I applied in the nighttime, and it only took a couple nights and that thing was gone and never has come back. And so how you win is when you lose, you go to him and say, how do I win? You know, and you don't justify. So some people say, so like if an attack happens, oh, Lord, how do I win? Or they'll say, Lord, why do bad things happen to me? No, I say, Lord, what do I got to do to overcome the enemy? Lord, what's the strategy to win? Give me a scheme to advance, because I don't want to be like this. So, you know, there's like a couple different types of personalities. Well, I don't believe in demons, so I'm just going to cover my head and they'll go away. Or I don't believe in exercising authority because I've never been taught that. Or, Lord, what do I got to do to win? And I'm in the Lord, what do I got to do to win? Because it's every day. It's not just, here's the thing. If you give an inch to the enemy, he'll take it. If you give an ever inch, he'll take it. If you have never been attacked by the enemy, I'm wondering if you are serving God. You know, are you just kind of like just coasting through and hoping that you make it into the pearly gates? Hallelujah. But listen, you're here for an assignment. You're here because God needs you on earth. He picked you for this time. Now, I'm not saying go look for a fight with the devil, but I'm saying, you know, the enemy is cruel and rotten, and he likes to throw stones, but his stones can't hurt if you're in him, the king. And so I'm challenging you to take a look at where you're at. And I'm not saying, because there's times when there's no warfare. Hallelujah. Love those times. But there's other times when God will give you a warning dream. Or maybe somebody else will have a warning dream. Or maybe you just can sense the demonic activity in the house or area or whatever. Or maybe you'll get a flash vision of like a car wreck or something. Don't ignore that stuff. Pray that through. If you get a flash vision, those are warnings from the Holy Ghost. And when I get a flash vision, I don't get scared. Oh, I'm going to get in a car accident. I say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me, I hear do by contempt. And there will be no hit in the spirit, and there will be no hit in the natural. I'm protected by the blood of the Lamb. And I don't say the same thing all the time because it's by the Spirit that I speak it. But if you act like it's not going to happen, there's no authority there. If you turn your back on the enemy, he will flee. But if you turn your back on a warning, you're going to get hit in the back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't openly engage and chase demons. You know, there's no need for that. But I don't let them in my house. I don't let them in my life. And when they try to knock on the door, just like a thief, I shine a spotlight of God on them and I say, go in the name of Jesus. And there comes to a place where you don't even have to fight with this stuff. You know, there's a place in God where you can go so high that it can't even bother you anymore. And so I'm challenging you to come in higher, come up deeper. Are you struggling with sickness? How do you know it's just not a demonic attack? Usually it is. Sickness is from the devil. It's not from God. And if we can speak life over the situation, it's a lot easier when it first knocks on the door. Little fever, little cough, little sneeze, knock, knock, knock. Get out in the name of Jesus. The blood of the Lamb over me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And I can drink any deadly poison and it shall not harm me. And plagues can't touch me because I'm in Jesus, okay? Now I don't run from plagues and I don't run to plagues. I stay in Jesus. I don't focus on plagues. I stay in Jesus. And see, where you look is where you go. I stay in Jesus. I'm not looking at the plagues. I'm not looking at what's going on in the world. No, I pay attention, but I don't pay attention looking like this. I pay attention from up there looking down. Lord, what shall I decree? Lord, how shall I pray? You know, I watched the news the other day, a couple nights ago. I hadn't watched it in a long time, and I just wanted to know what was going on. It's the same stuff that's going on. It's just a different day with a different spin. But it's all the enemy. There's no good news out there. You know, you know where I get my good news? I get it on a Wednesday night when somebody gives me a good testimony. You know what I'm saying? I get it when I'm in fellowship and somebody shares a story about their kid or their mom or how they overcame. That's good news to me. You know, so I'm challenging you. God's shaking you tonight because we're coming into a season where we're going to be presented with opportunities and it's going to scare us. But it's designed to open us up and ask questions. Because, you know, if you've always acted this way, maybe you're the type of person that, let's see, I need a good example. Here's a good one. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Okay, I do not have the gift of hospitality, okay? Don't have it. So you'll never get invited over to my house, ever. I'll meet you at a restaurant. I'll flip the bill if I have to, but, you know, I'm not a big cooker. I cooked when I had kids. I don't want to cook anymore. And so I'm not into like, oh, come over and let's play a game. Or I'm not into that. You know, let's go have a prayer meeting somewhere. But so if somebody came up to me and said, you need to cook for 70 people because they need Jesus, I'd be like, ah, because that's not my comfort zone. So I'd be like, first thing I'd be thinking of is who can I use? Who can I find? Whose gifting is this? I'd probably call Judy or you know, John Mayer or somebody and say, hey, you know, somebody who likes to cook and I'll go, but it's not my gifting. And see, but what if it is and I just don't know it? I'm so used to not doing it and deflecting it. And I'm using it as an example because we're being shook up right now. What we think that we think is not true. So I'm just saying, if you're presented with a circumstance and you're like, I can't cook for 70 people, well, are you going to deflect and give it to somebody else? Or is this the assignment that God's chosen for you? And will he give you the grace to fulfill it? I don't know. I'm just saying that's an example. But I'm just saying because, you know, of what happened with Ryan and Rachel the other day, you know, I'll let you guys share on that. What? Yeah, in a minute. And what the thing is afterwards, it was like a God moment in the house. When we were talking about it, I was like, this is a God moment. This is the next, this is where we're at right now in the spirit. So go ahead and share it, Ryan.
So, you know how we're always saying we have to be ready, we have to be ready. And that the people that, you know, there's people coming in and they may not be what you think or, you know, they might look a little different or blah, blah, blah. So Rachel and I were on our way to Milwaukee and two sisters were on our way to Milwaukee to watch a bull riding event at Pfizer Forum. So we're on our way there and we're hungry. So we're trying to figure out, okay, where do you want to eat? Where do you want to eat? So we ended up deciding on Panera. So we stopped at Panera and went inside. We were placing our order. I noticed Rachel was behind me a little bit. And so I noticed something had gotten her attention and she was talking to someone. And then she kind of came in about a minute later and kind of was like looking like not weirded out but kind of like I don't know what just happened. So then we went over to our table and she was like, this guy came up to me and was asking me for money. And then as she's telling me this, we see he came inside the Panera and was asking another family, and then we made eye contact. And you know, when you make eye contact, it's like, oh, you get a quick turn, you're like, oh, I didn't make eye contact with you. But when I made eye contact, he was like, you know. So this man, he's black, and he came over by us, and he goes, "Hey, I just got out of jail." And I said, he goes, here's all my paperwork, I'll show you. And he goes, "Do you happen to have any money?" So my first thought was, this guy's trying to swindle me. You know, that's just the first thought that came to my head, is he's trying to, you know, he probably does this all the time. He's trying to get money out of me, and this is just probably what he does. And so Rachel and I both offered him a meal. We go, we'll buy you a meal. If you're hungry, we can get you something. He goes, "No, I already ate, and, you know, I had a good meal. I don't need anything." And I said, "I'm sorry." I said, "I just carry my credit card around me wherever I go. I don't have any cash in me," which was a lie, because I did have cash in my pocket and in the car. So I go, "I'm sorry, I didn't have any." And he kind of just turned around, and he's dejected, and just turned around, and he goes, "Okay." He goes, thank you anyway, and then he left. And then I'm just sitting there with Rachel, and I'm like, it must have been, 3 minutes or 4 minutes later, and we're like, I'm like, I think there was more to that. I should have had him sit down and tell a story and prayed with him, at the very least. And I think that this was a test set up. And Lori and I and Rachel were talking about this the other day, and I really believe that that man was an angel that was sent by God as a test for Rachel and I with our thought processes. And we were totally just in flesh mode, going to go watch a bull riding thing, and and here comes this test. And I mean, we failed miserably. I went out 3 minutes after he left to try to catch and find him, maybe 5 minutes after, and I couldn't find him anywhere. And so I really believe it was an angel and a test sent by the Lord. So what did we learn from this? Always be ready in season. Always be asking the Lord and constantly be in him, so you know how to react to these things, because we missed it, and we all miss it, but we're learning from it. Yeah. So that's the story.
That's good.
Yeah.
So a couple things. Do you see condemnation on him?
No.
And he actually was remorseful, which is the fingerprint of God. You know, so he did miss it. If, you know, how many times do we see a homeless person or a person pretending to be homeless standing on the road? "I need money, I need money." Have we become so callous that we don't even look anymore? I'm just saying it. You know, not every day, because I'm not in my car every day, but if I live in a city, and so I always see people with their buckets out or whatever, and I have to pray, because I don't want to have corruption in my heart, where you get so used to seeing people working a system. It's easy to put judgment into my heart and go, "Well, why don't they work?" Or, you know, blah, blah. Listen, I don't know their situation, but we have to become sensitive. And when the Holy Spirit says move, we move. And so I feel like we've been in a season where we all been kind of like, not all, but most of us are, you know, I feel like God's shaking or ripping, like, the lull or the comfortableness of just, we're used to seeing homeless people. There's going to be a inflow, and it's coming, we don't know when, of people who are desperate for God. And some may need money, some may need healing, some may need prayer, and we are the ones that God's going to use to reach the lost and the broken, and we will feed them along the way. People like food. People like to feel comfort and that they're loved and cared for. And they're used, the world has been really mean to people. And so is the church. So is the church. And if they can't tell the difference between the world and the church, there's a problem. And so the remnant, hello, everybody, remnant, hello. You are the one chosen to be the Good Samaritan. You know, that story is in the Bible for a reason. You know, he went and tended to the wounds along the side of the road and then said, hey, put on my tab, you know, put them up and put, whatever's owed, put them. That's us. Jesus role modeled that for us. And so I can tell you, I've blown it many times over the course of my walk in God. And when I willfully blew it, I was miserable because the enemy would just pound on me. Now, then there comes a point where you no longer want to be willfully, and you're like, Lord, I blew that, and I'm so sorry. Will you help me? And he would make a way, and it wasn't always comfortable. It's never comfortable. He'll make a way for restitution of my heart, you know, to come along. And, you know, I'll never forget that one time, you know, when God was just testing me with the simple things of obedience. Go tell this person I love him. Her name was Megan. She was in the hospital. I was in the hospital getting a test. She had cancer. She was young. And he wanted me to go tell her that he loved her. And I was like, I couldn't do it. And because I was so full of myself. You know, what will she think? What will, you know, listen, I'm not full of myself anymore. If God wants me to go do something, I do it. Because I got beat up too many times along the way of not obeying. And so, you know, those times I remember of when I blew it. But I don't use them as beating posts. I use them as launching posts. And so, you know, I feel like we're going to all go through a season of like a ripping open, kind of like of a Band-Aid. You know, we're so used to things being the way they are. We're comfortable. But people are going to come into our paths that are going to be desperate for a touch of God, the love of God. And it's going to manifest through you if you're willing. And I guarantee you, you will blow it occasionally because we deal with our flesh and the busyness of the day. But I really feel like that was an angel that was sent on assignment to wake these two up. And not that they were sleeping, but, you know, that bothered them. And you know, I know the feeling of being bothered when you blow it. And I also know the victory of when you are obedient and the blessings that come. And we're going to see people come through the doors that are stinky, that are hungry, that are, you know, just desperate for a touch from God. And we are the ones that he's going to use, not me personally, all of us, the whole remnant, to bring life to the broken. They're tired of the counterfeit. They're tired of being lied to. They're tired of not knowing. And they're going to see in us, in our eyes, the love of God, the love, the compassion of God. And they're going to be drawn to his compassion, not to us, his compassion. We're going to release a word in season. And that's why it's important to lose the 17-year problem that you've had that you've used as an excuse. Because God's like accelerating, rapid acceleration over, you know, anything we want to deal with, rapid acceleration. Anything we touch, rapid acceleration. This is the season right now of rapid acceleration. And it could be good or it could be bad. It's up to you. You get to choose because God gives us free will. Amen?
That's right.
Any questions? Any comments? Amen, amen. Father, I thank you. Yeah, it is good news. It is good news. You know, every week, Holly, I say, what you preaching on? I say, the goodness of God. You know, because he's so good. And I just love him so much. You know, I remember when I just didn't trust him. I remember thinking, it's too good to be true. And now I'm like, I'm just so in love with you and I don't care about anything else, you know. He's so good. If we sow into him, he will give himself to us freely. And I just love that. There's no boundaries with him. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.